on Your Mind, brought to you by DAC Diesel. If you have anything powered by diesel, CJ and his team at DAC Diesel should quickly become your best friend. Because they know diesel. That's all they do is diesel. And they do it well. They're in Bismarck. But they go anywhere. If it's broken down, you can't get it to where they are, they'll come to you. You just give them a call, 701-258-5011. Tractors, trucks, pickups, semis, you name it. Long-lasting repair and maintenance services from DAC Diesel. Find out more about them at DACDiesel.com or call them at 701-258-5011. So this hour in the program, we're going to chat with David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. David was on with us earlier in the week. We had a ton of reaction to our conversation with him. Folks wanting to know more about the organization, how to contact them. Their website has been taken down by their web provider. One of those situations, again, where they're countering some of the conventional wisdom in the health community. And I just detest that about what's going on right now, the censorship and other things going on. Look, treat us like adults, especially when it comes to your health. I mean, America's frontline doctors, same thing. We've had them on before. They have a different opinion than the quote-unquote mainstream. I can listen to them. It's like getting a second opinion. I could decide, do I believe that? Give people the information. Let them decide. Treat them like adults. I don't understand what the deal is. But anyway, so a lot of folks wanted to get a hold of David and do some follow-up, and so we'll give you an opportunity to get the email information today on the program. And then we also have, bottom of the hour, a expert from the Heritage Foundation on election integrity. Press conference today at 11 o'clock. Donald Trump is promising a clear path to victory being announced. We're going to talk a little bit about what the possibilities could be and check that with our friends at the Heritage Foundation. So that'll be coming up. And then we also have a little preview of the Festival of Trees in Minot this weekend at one of our great organizations in North Dakota, the Dakota Hope Clinic. The clinic director will join us. Nadia Samanta will join us today on the program, and always enjoy our chats with Nadia. She's a sweet lady, and they run a great organization, and of course they defend life. So I love them, and I hope you do too. And organizations like them that do that are very, very important. All right, with any further ado, welcome back to the program to David Waterman. We have a bunch of calls waiting here too, so we'll get to you folks that have questions for David. David, welcome back. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Scott. It's great to be back. And you do have a great audience. We've already just been on the show for that 20 minutes on Monday. We got emails from North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Colorado. So you've got a far and wide reach with the flag, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, we certainly appreciate our audience. And 550 KFIRE, 1100 the flag, 1090 KTGO, KLTC, and Dickinson puts a wide signal out there, and it's awesome to have this conversation day in and day out. And people right now, I think, are starved for information because there is this sort of lockout. There's one thing you're told from public health officials. Let me ask you just in general. I mean, I don't imagine the people in public health get up every day and they want to do harm, right? Is it an arrogant thing that they know what is best? Are they not fond of second opinions? I mean, why do you exist in having to give a different opinion than maybe a taxpayer funded public health system would?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, Scott. And I think that one of the things is that, as we've already seen, you mentioned the censorship that's going on around the country. Someone is behind that censorship. And I've talked with doctors. I've heard secondhand through people that I know from doctors that I know that things are going on in the medical profession. This is not conspiracy theory. This is fact. Doctors are being threatened. We just got a text from a relative on the East Coast who is terrified about what's going on here. We've got my mother-in-law is still with us, and she lives here in Grand Forks. And they're saying, you've got the worst deaths in the nation, in the world, in fact. North Dakota is the hot spot for COVID worldwide, and she wants to know about that. And so we're trying to persuade her that that there aren't, you know, bodies lying in the streets. But the truth of the matter is that I've heard from doctors that there is great pressure on them to code deaths that have nothing to do with COVID as COVID deaths. I heard from someone, and I'm hesitant even to say this because this doctor was fearful about saying this, said it to a family member who repeated it to me. And I know this doctor, that a colleague sent in a death certificate with someone who had died from a heart attack, and it was returned, and he was told, you better change this to COVID-19 as the cause of death. Another doctor told me that hospitals are incentivized to have as many COVID deaths as they can because they get more money if they write down the cause of death as COVID-19. Here in Grand Forks, the hospital system here at Altru, they're suffering tremendously. They have such a shortage of funds that they started building their new building, and they had to stop. They've got the foundation is laid and big metal beams sticking up out of the ground, and they're not doing any construction on it because they don't have the money. So that would be they'd be great. They've laid off lots of workers, lots of staff. So these hospitals that have been devastated by the earlier actions that were taken are now really suffering for money. And so if they get extra money by writing down COVID-19 as a cause of death, that obviously that helps them. And the danger and the scary part about that is, and I said this to the doctor who told me, I said, so if health professionals will lie about the cause of death for money, what won't they lie about for money?
Yeah, and when you put an incentive in there to have, it coded one way versus the other way, what are you going to do? I mean, I would hope it'd be done to the letter of the law, but you just know that's not exactly the case, so there's no doubt about that. Question about testing. Wondering if your experience or your research has found that the testing system is flawed, complaining also that why does it take so long? Why in other places can you get an answer back in hours, and here it's days, 5 and 6 days even sometimes. What's your answer there, David?
You know, I don't think, Scott, the question isn't, in my opinion, has nothing to do with how long it's taking. The question is, how are they doing it? And so when I called the health department, the North Dakota Health, the Department of Health, I was told that the primary testing method that they're using is what's called a PCR test. So everybody's heard of that, right? PCR. But nobody knows, very few people know really what it is. PCR was actually not designed as a test for any kind of virus. It's the PCR machine, it's a polymerase chain reaction machine, was invented by a brilliant scientist named Kerry Mullis, and he did it so that scientists who were studying DNA, you may have just a tiny amount of DNA, and if you're doing forensic work and the work that you're, the study that you're doing, the process that you're doing that DNA may destroy it, you're really limited in terms of what kind of research you can do. So the PCR machine was designed to replicate DNA. They can take a strand of DNA, put in a PCR machine, and duplicate that DNA. They can make as many. They run cycles. It's called the cycle threshold determines how many copies of that DNA you can make. Now, viruses are RNA, so they use an RT-PCR process. That stands for reverse transcription, polymerase chain reaction. And so they take that RNA, and again, they do the same thing. It goes through a process where they duplicate lots of it. Kerry Mullis stated very clearly that the PCR machine should never be used to determine whether or not somebody is sick from a virus, because if you run enough cycles, you can find anything in anybody. Because as long as there's a single molecule of DNA or RNA on that test that you put in the kit, it will eventually become millions of molecules or more. Again, it goes to how many cycles
so
you do.
So is the theory there that the testing is flawed, so there are more positives than there actually are positives? Obviously, the people that have succumbed to coronavirus, had coronavirus, but it's inflating right. It. Is that the problem?
Exactly right. So for example, you can Dr. Tony Fauci himself said that if somebody has if you've got, 36, 37, 38 cycle threshold, all you're finding is is dead nucleotides. In other words, if you get the coronavirus, Scott, and your body kills it off, and then so now you still have those viral particles in your system. They're dead. They can't reproduce. They can't make you sick. They can't make anybody else sick. But they're still there. Your body can take up to 3 months or more to get rid of that old dead, those dead viral particles. And so now let's say that you suddenly find yourself at a place where somebody tests positive for COVID-19 and they do contact tracing. They say, hey, Scott, you got to come in and get tested. So you go in, that PCR machine will find those dead particles in your body.
Wow. Hold tight if you would. Back on What's On Your Mind, brought to you today by Oasis Petroleum. Remember, the 24-7 Be the Buffalo Hotline is there for you. 855-200-1776. 855-200-1776. Also brought to you by H.A. Thompson & Sons. Our friends at H.A. Thompson & Sons can help you in many ways. And one of them is to say, you know what? Whether it's coronavirus, whether it's the flu, whether it's anything, I want to make sure the air in my business, in my home, is as clean as it possibly can be. And that's where the folks at H.A. Thompson come in, because they have ways you can help prevent other airborne viruses from spreading in your home and your business. And they have a number of cleaning products. And, of course, the great thing about H.A. Thompson & Sons, they vet these. They go compare them. They really dig into this for you, so you know you're getting a great product. Very affordable, too. 234-9889, the number to call them, H.A. Thompson & Sons, 234-9889. Back with our guest, David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. I don't have it in front of me, but somebody earlier today said, you know, I'd like to know the credentials of David Waterman. These stats are, you know, interesting and sometimes alarming. But is he a health professional? What gives him the ability to have this a coalition and this information? What would you tell folks there, David?
I'd say that, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm just a normal Joe. But the fact of the matter is, Scott, you don't have to be an expert to know the truth. If I said 98.6, Scott, what would you say? What does that mean to you, 98.6?
Well, if you're talking about, percentage of something, 98.6, I'd say, you're doing pretty good.
What if I took
your body
a glass tube?
What,
thank you. Yeah. So you stick a glass tube in somebody's mouth, you pull it out, it says 98.6. What does that tell you?
Normal temp.
Right. And what if it says 202.5? What would you say to the person?
The turkey's done, pull it out of the oven?
See a doctor.
No. No, would you tell me I had a fever if I said my temperature was 102.5?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. But what, are you a doctor?
Yeah.
No, so but I don't do meth either, and I know that's pretty bad for you.
I'm going to take your point there to say this is information. You're
exactly.
Gathering information. You're putting it out there. People can believe it, not believe it, but you're presenting numbers that you've gathered and put out there, which, by the way, is hard to follow.
Numbers, Scott, that come from scientists who have devoted their lives to finding the truth about these matters. So that's all I'm doing. We're just Midwest Public Health Coalition is we have scientists and doctors and medical people who we work with to make sure that everything that we're putting out is accurate and true and scientific. So I say, hey, you know, don't believe me. Do the research yourself. We'll point you in the right direction so that you can find out for yourself whether I'm saying is true or not.
Texter says New York Times report here sent the link. 90% of PCR tests are false positive. So your coalition is in agreement with the New York Times on that now.
Right. So Scott, I will tell you one thing about myself. I've got a science degree, Bachelor of Science degree from the University of North Dakota in industrial technology. Okay, that's my training, my education, and one of the things that I had to study as an industrial technology student was industrial safety, and that includes PPE, which stands for personal protective equipment. As a filmmaker, because I own my personal, in my career, I make films. I've got a film production company, and I've written scripts and produced films instructing people on the proper use and maintenance of personal protective equipment. So that's something that I actually have both formal and informal training on. And I'm going to just read to you just briefly, from, and what personal protective equipment is it's something that protects you from a known threat, right? So so the question is about masks. Do masks protect you from the known threat of COVID-19? And rather than give you my opinion, I'm going to read to you from the CDC publication, Operational Considerations for Personal Protective Equipment in the Context of Global Supply Shortages for Coronavirus Disease, COVID-19 Pandemic, in non-U.S. healthcare settings. This is a quote directly from this document, page 6. Non-medical fabric masks are not considered PPE, and their ability to protect healthcare workers is currently unknown. Some studies suggest it may lead to a false sense of protection and even increase influenza-like disease relative to wearing a medical mask. Here's from the World Health Organization publication. I'm not going to read it, but it's advice on the use of masks in the context of COVID-19, World Health Organization. A non-medical mask, which they define as a cloth mask, is neither a medical device nor personal protective equipment. Hospital Respiratory Protection Program Toolkit, which is endorsed by OSHA, CDC, NIOSH, that's the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, says this in their publication. This is what it talks about, face masks. Face masks do not seal tightly to the wearer's face. Therefore, they allow unfiltered air to easily flow around the sides of the face mask into the breathing zone and respiratory tract of the wearer. In addition, the materials used for face masks are not regulated for their ability to filter particles and are known to vary greatly between models. This makes it possible for small particles to pass through or around the face mask and be inhaled by the wearer.
So what's
the key point?
Okay.
This next part, let me just read this next part. Scott, this is in bold type. This is why they are not considered respiratory protection. Face masks do not, all caps, not provide the wearer with a reliable level of protection from inhaling smaller particles, including those emitted into the room air by a patient who's exhaling or coughing. So these are the CDC, the World Health Organization, OSHA, and NIOSH, all are in agreement. Face masks do not protect you from COVID-19.
What's the motivation? What's the motivation of a mask mandate? Do people in their heart of hearts believe it's better than nothing? It will slow things down. While it's not perfect, it'll do some good. Is that the motivation?
Scott, I think there are two groups who are pushing mask mandates. I think one group really does believe that they will maybe slow things down, maybe help a little bit. They unfortunately don't have the medical background or the science to understand the dangers that wearing cloth masks pose, especially over long periods of time. But I think that there's another group behind this that has a much more sinister motivation, and that is to control people. I think when you see your rights being stripped away, when you look at the actual disease itself and say, how many people are really getting sick and what's the percentage of people dying from COVID versus the percentage of people dying from cancer and heart disease and a number of other ailments that are more preventable than COVID. And you see that there's a tremendous disparity. The number of people dying from cancer and heart disease is many times higher every year than the deaths from COVID.
Let's take a question here. John in Richfield, North Dakota, for David Waterman. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the one that just got tested on Monday, and then they called me yesterday and said, you have COVID, and now I'm trying to find out, is that right? Because to me, I was interviewed for about 45 minutes last night, and the lady kept saying, well, can you breathe? And I said, yes. Well, does your lungs, chest hurt? And I said, no. And they kept trying to make it sound like it's COVID. But I've had a bad cold before, and that's what I have. I just want to know, why do they do this to people? And then we were tested at the Winter Show, and they didn't even use the tape that the cops use, you know, stay behind this line. And they're supposed to be 6 feet apart, and you got people standing on your feet almost.
Hang on, John. We'll get you an answer from David after the break here, okay? Stay tuned for more on What's on Your Mind.
I've been around the world. I've seen some pretty faces, been with some beautiful girls.
This is What's on Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. A few more minutes with David Waterman from the Midwest Public Health Coalition. Then we're going to check in with the Heritage Foundation about election integrity. What do we know based on what we found since November 3rd? The president is announcing a press conference. He won't be there, but Rudy Giuliani will be. He says it's a clear path to victory. So we're going to find out more about that coming up here in about a little half hour or so. So a lot going on today, and we're here to cover it all for you. That's right. We're also here to make you hungry because PetroServe USA has good old-fashioned home cooking and grab-and-go convenience waiting for you at any of their PetroServe USA locations. How about that? PetroServe USA has today, at their Howard location, meatloaf dinner, West Main Avenue, West Fargo, lasagna with garlic toast. Very, very good. Trust me on this one thing. 12th Avenue North, Shepherd's Pie. Shepherd's Pie today at the 12th Avenue North, I-29 location of PetroServe USA. And in Valley City, exit 292, pulled pork and French dip sandwich. And there's all kinds of choices. Great, great options. The 4-for-4 deal and more. PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. All right, David, you heard the frustration from the caller. Any advice for John in Richfield?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, monitor your symptoms. I'm not a doctor, so I can't give medical advice, but I had a son that got COVID. I had a couple of friends who were hospitalized with COVID, and I would say make sure that you're getting good nutrition. I'm reading here from a doctor who wrote that elderly people who eat healthy, exercise regularly, and maintain sufficient levels of crucial vitamins and minerals, especially vitamins C, E, D, and D3, as well as magnesium, zinc, and selenium, are at very low risk for serious illness or death from this virus. So, make sure that your body has the fuel it needs to fight it off, even if it's just a cold. You're going to want to have D3, and the other D3 is one of the, it's like the frontline defense for most viruses.
Well, I saw Phil Kirpin has a great blog and does great work, and Phil unearthed a study from somewhere that looked at deaths in COVID-19 and the prevalent factor in those that died were a lack of vitamin D. They had a vitamin D deficiency, very clear in their numbers. So yeah, I think that's exactly. That's good advice. But how about this? If I'm John and I say, look, I got a cold, like I always have a cold, and now you're saying because I have a cold, I have coronavirus. I don't believe I have coronavirus. He can get another test, can he? I mean, he can keep going back and saying, are you sure? Can't you?
Well, if you've got if you've got the symptoms of coronavirus, well, my son called me and he said, Pa, I feel terrible. I said, well, he said, I've got a temperature, 102.5. He said, I'm achy. I said, can you take a deep breath? He said, I can, but it makes me cough. I said, how's your sense of taste and smell? He said, it's weird. It's really diminished. He said, I'm not stuffed up or anything. I said, well, you might want to just, go in and get a test. And of course he did. And he was positive. So there are those obvious telltale symptoms. But one of the things to know also is that we have treatments for COVID-19. They have ways of dealing with it. That's a whole other topic. I've got a doctor that said that he got a notification from one of the states he's licensed to practice medicine that said, if you prescribe hydroxychloroquine for the treatment of coronavirus, there will be repercussions.
Yeah, we had a gentleman call, a pastor, I want to say Edgley, North Dakota. I don't remember exactly where it was. Might have been Enderlin, but it started with an E, that much I'm sure of. And he called us to tell us that his wife had tested positive and that she requested to be treated with HCQ, and the attending medical folks said that's fake news. You've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. So
yeah, the Ford Medical Foundation did a retrospective study of thousands of patients who went during the when it first blew up, the whole big thing, months ago. They did a retrospective study of people who had been treated with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and Z-Pak, and they said that it reduced deaths by over 50%. So how come that's not being shouted from the rooftops?
Well, I think, the 99-plus percent survival rate, the therapies, the vaccines, The doom and gloom, the fact that people are getting called saying, oh, you're going to be okay. It's like, wow. This is just shows you how they can scare the living daylights out of you without any facts. Two final texts here, and then I'll let you go. Paula says, I used to work in a lab and have been explaining this to my healthcare colleagues for months. Medical staffs often don't understand the PCR test. The guest explaining PCR test deserves an ovation. It's all about specificity and sensitivity. PCR is too sensitive. So an attaboy from your earlier assessment. And this one I'll leave you with. My father passed away last week, says this listener. He didn't die of COVID. He died because of COVID. 1 week in the hospital, 2 weeks quarantine, then tested positive, so put in isolation. The week before he died, he tested negative for COVID-19. The death certificate states COVID cause of death. And right. Todd knows this person. I mean, this is somebody real that's, you know, I mean, it's what do you make of that, David?
I think that that's extremely common. I think that's going on all over the country, and because the fake news isn't covering it. I'm glad you're covering it, but because fake news isn't covering it, people, you know, we hear these stories of people that we know and other people that we know. That's happening all over. We're not special. It's happening everywhere. I do want to just point out, and I know that you'll get to this again, but info@realcovidfacts.org is how people can reach us and get more information.
Say that one more time really slow, because we had a lot of calls after the last program from folks that say, I need the email. What is it again?
Yes, sir. It's info@realcovidfacts.org.
Okay.
info@realcovidfacts.org.
And again, I saw a couple of brochures that David put out, and he says, if you need medical advice, talk to your doctor. That's where the medical advice goes. This is about numbers. This is about facts and data, countering the torrent of things coming from other folks. So we appreciate what you're doing at the Midwest Public Health Coalition, and facts are pesky things. They just hang around there, and we're going to continue to press to make sure all sides are heard on this discussion. Thank you, David.
That's great. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, really, the truth is the truth. There are two different opposing sides right now, but only one of them is right. So if they're using PCR to generate these high numbers that are really mostly false positives, that should tell us something.
Sure should. Appreciate your work. Thank you, David. And we'll have him back, folks, because you've asked for him. Zach Smith is a legal fellow in the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Joins us to talk a little bit about election integrity in the focus. President Trump announcing earlier today that a press conference will be held with Rudy Giuliani and others, and what he describes as a clear path to victory being laid out. Interesting. Clear and viable path to victory is the exact term. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
All right, two questions. One, just overall, what have we learned about election integrity since this process of mail-in ballots, all the things we've lived from election 2020 so far?
Well, I think we've certainly seen a lot of troubling allegations made about the security of our election process. And really, this move to mail-in ballots has highlighted a lot of the other issues that people have ignored for too long, frankly. You know, if you look to Nevada, they have notoriously bad voter registration rolls. And whenever you combine that with vote-by-mail, which has fewer safeguards than in-person voting, you really start to see a lot of problems developing. So I think there are certainly issues we've seen this past election cycle and things that have to be addressed before we go into 2022 and even 2024.
President also highlighted evidence of voter fraud growing, including 20,000 dead people on the Pennsylvania voter rolls and many thousands all over the country. How in the United States of America, I mean, with all the technology and all the things that we have, would we still have people who are dead on the voter rolls? Is that all about stealing elections, or is that incompetence?
You know, unfortunately, sometimes it's difficult to determine which motivation it is. But, you know, I think in large part, it really may be, unfortunately, more incompetence or refusal of state officials to do their jobs. And so, you know, what we've seen in places like Michigan, places like Philadelphia, other places, is that their voter rolls are very bad, very out of date. And one of the reasons they're out of date is that they're not taking advantage of different cross-check programs where they can check their rolls against the rolls of other states to be sure there are not duplicates, the voters voting registered to vote in multiple states. And then they're not checking their voter rolls against federal databases, databases maintained by the Department of Homeland Security, databases maintained by the Social Security Administration, those types of databases that contain publicly available information. And so, you know, again, unfortunately, private interest groups, private litigants have taken it upon themselves. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, for instance, has done great work in the area of voter registration, voter rolls. And when they ran, you know, just a publicly available cross-check of Michigan's voter rolls against many of these databases prior to the election, they found many inaccuracies, many discrepancies, and even found one voter who had a birth date of something like 1823 still on the rolls. So it's, you know, clearly problems exist, and state officials have to do a better job of finding these problems and of fixing them.
Do you agree with President Trump's optimism on the chances of overturning this election?
Well, I know the president is certainly hopeful. I know many of his supporters are certainly hopeful as well. And they're likely troubled by many of the irregularities and improprieties we've seen take place in many of these jurisdictions. You know, so far, we have seen the president face a very tough road legally in many of these lawsuits, in many of these states. And, you know, that's for a couple of reasons. The first is voter fraud, unfortunately, is very difficult to detect and even more difficult to prove in a court of law. And so that's the first hurdle that the president's faced. And then the second hurdle he has faced and will continue to face is that even if there are allegations of voter fraud and voting improprieties and even proof that some occurred, judges are hesitant to overturn election results.
Now, why is the $64,000 question? Get it right, judges. Don't worry about whether or not you're getting invited to cocktail parties anymore. But we'll save that discussion for the next time. We chat with Zach Smith, legal fellow at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundations. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it very much. More coming up on What's on Your Mind. Final segment.
Powered by Schwann Buick GMC.com. If you're in the market for pre-owned pickup, the best deal is at Schwann. Shop the area's best selection, not only of GMCs, but late model Rams, Chevrolets, Fords, even Ford Super Duties. Most come with Schwann's lifetime powertrain warranty. Check this out. A 2018 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT, 20,000 miles, just $26,900. Finance rates are some of the lowest in years, and business owners, you can save even more. See us on Memorial Highway under the gigantic American flag that Jim the Flagpole Guy installed, or online at SchwannBuickGMC.com.
Dexter says, Scott, when will you guys drop Fox News for your news source? Every time it comes on, I turn the radio down or off. Then I miss half the program because I miss turning it back on. Don't do
and
that.
Put what on?
Yeah, so Todd, how would you answer that?
And put what on?
Silence?
I'm praying that they realize being the third place cable news outlet will not work in their financial favor, even if it does push an ideology, and get back to their darn senses, but...
You know, and I have actually a lot of D.C. type conservative friends saying, okay, you can be mad at Fox for the election or the fact that they've slipped a little here or there. If there's no Fox, there's not even, you know, a semblance in the main cable networks, if you will. I've been watching a lot of Newsmax lately. Newsmax is really good, especially like Greg Kelly. Oh, it's a good show. Really,
sure.
Really good show. Yeah. So anyway,
that said, what do you do for a radio network newscast?
Todd's point is very well taken. It's the same thing we're wrestling with. The alternative is, you know, nothing. So I appreciate you bringing that up. But
I guess we can throw 6 seconds of dead air on for a day every hour.
We could go back to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz's prediction that there's not going to be people to listen to Fox News. So,
Yeah.
I mean, restaurants, they can't go eat at restaurants anymore. What the hell with them? You know, right from the governor.
Everybody's going to be dead.
Right from the governor, right there, yeah.
I mean, I get it. There's that little part of me that wonders, are we coming up to the end of the world? But I think if you're governor, you probably don't want to go saying stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just thinking.
Texter says, have you mentioned that Governor Burgum has amended the portion of the executive order that now will allow sports practices to resume on November 30th? I don't believe we have today on the program, maybe in the newscast, because that was a news story from yesterday. But
did have it in the news, but yeah.
Appreciate that.
Good point, though.
Hey,
that was an interesting backtrack. I kind of wonder what, you know, was the in response to outcry or
big time, big time. I mean, yeah. I mean, people are absolutely a meltdown. And I think that was a question of the legislative leader saying, "Here, Governor Burgum, let's fix this, or we're going to have to go into session to fix it ourselves." I don't doubt that at all.
Ooh, good point.
Because they were not happy, and there was a lot of. A lot of wrangling going on there. And I still don't understand that one anyway. I don't when you got the healthiest group of people and if the concern is that what they're going to bring that to should they get something, then you protect the people on the other side. I just don't understand. I mean, put a mask on.
I get we can't pull a basketball game full of fans right now. I get that, but to say nothing at all? Come on.
Yeah. All right. So, gosh, do we pack a lot in today. And Nadia is here from the Dakota Hope Clinic. Nadia is the clinic director there. Nice to have you back, Nadia. How are you doing?
Doing good, Dad. How are you?
I'm doing well. I love the good work that the Dakota Hope Clinic does in standing up for life and helping individuals in crisis hope pregnancies. There's so many stories of you know, things that start as, oh, no, what am I going to do to, hey, we can figure this out, and it, a lot of ways. And I see you're doing your Festival of Trees this weekend, so I want to get you guys a plug-in. What is the Festival of Trees, and where is it happening?
Okay, the Festival of Trees is on Friday and Saturday, and it's at the State Fair Center here. So we have a huge venue for it, and we are following the governor's guidelines as far as, you know, he issued the new guidelines last weekend about the size of your venue, how many the people you could have. So we are going to easily keep it to the 25% of capacity. And the Festival of Trees is just a way to bring some cheer and hope to a kind of a gloomy situation we have. And it's just the opening event for the holidays, and we just hope people will feel free to come out. But for those that don't come out, don't feel like they should go out into a group setting, we are offering some alternatives. We have a concert in the trees on Friday from noon to 8, and that will be live streamed so people can participate in that. And what that is, it's just a series of local musicians that are playing their music for us. And I think people will really enjoy that. And then along with that, at the same day on Friday, we will have a vendor show, and we call it the Dakota Holiday Market and Sweet Shop. So it would be a good place to come and buy your pies or goodies for Thanksgiving and also start your continue your Christmas shopping at the venue, you know, at this venue. So we hope that people will come out, and that's what's going on Friday.
And if there, tell us the website where people can get all the information on this, Nadia.
Okay, they can go to festoftrees.com. That's where you get all the information.
Festoftrees.com. Extraordinarily important event. I mean, for one, get you in the Christmas spirit here, and a lot of neat ideas. But the proceeds, of course, benefit this wonderful Dakota Hope Clinic. One more time on the website.
Festoftrees.com. Do we have time to tell them about the Saturday events, sir?
Check them out online. The music tells me we're out of time. But a full slate of Saturday events, too. So many. Nadia only got through Friday.